Dear Diary, today I interviewed a mascot. Not gonna lie, I was coming down with a fever and I think I totally fangirled, but the guy just went with it and I really appreciate that. This guy puts on an awesome show when he puts on the suit and I was really lucky to talk with him. It went like this.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, not much. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
How was your day?
It was good. It was real good.
Cool, cool. So how long have you been a mascot?
Well, I've always been like doing like weird kind of mascot-y, costume-y type things. But I've been a full season, as nobody says, a full season mascot since 2010. I started off in high school. I've been going since then. I was my high school mascot my senior year of high school. And then I did it 4 years in college. And then I worked a year, kind of like an internship, but they were just jobs. I had four part-time jobs that led Wow. up in the one full-time job. And now I am here where I am now. So, so six-ish years is my time frame.
Wow. That's nice. So you mentioned that you've been mascotting since high school and then in college. So what kind of camps and training did you go through? Was there anything that they provided specifically for you as a mascot?
Well, in high school, I was just kind of taught by the person who had done it before. It was a less serious tradition kind of thing. But in college, we actually went to the UCA national or the UCA camps, Universal Cheerleaders Association, and that was held at the University of Tennessee. So that was all the college mascots from my state all got together and did their we did a camp. It was hosted by the University of Tennessee, and then I ended up working for the Universal Cheerleaders Association as well, and I taught some high school camps over time.
Pretty cool. That's cool. Yeah. And so have you heard of, I don't know if you've heard of it, like any of those mascot camps, like put on like those professional sports mascots, like Bailey doesn't have one from the LA Kings, but right. Stormy does. Like, I don't know, have you heard of any of those or been to any of those?
I've been to Dave Raymond's mascot camp. I went to one. It was at, what's the name of that school? Washburn University in the middle of Kansas, middle of nowhere. I went to Dave Raymond's camp out there. I'm sure you're familiar with Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's great. He's really like the epicenter of professional mascotting.
Yeah. Learning from the best, but that's like, yeah. I mean, did anyone send you there? Did you pay for that out of pocket or?
That was with the team I was working for at the time. They sent me there.
Well, that's pretty cool. Are you the first? Okay. I'm going to go into your character now.
Right.
And we're not going to say who you are, but are you the first person to embody the mascot that you are now?
I am not. No, I'm the fourth person.
So how much of the current character's personality was passed down to you from the previous people? And like, how much have you added?
Well, luckily, in 2016, there are a lot of videos, a lot of social media things that it doesn't get lost on a computer somewhere, buried on a videotape. So it is readily available online. So you can find it. And so I've definitely taken the seeds, if you will. Like the person before me laid a very good track, and then I've added my own flavor to the character.
So you do a lot of skits, right? So
yes.
During the game, I've seen videos and stuff and there's just like so much. So do you come up with these ideas yourself or do you work with a team? Or I mean, you said you weren't the first person, but
right.
I don't know. Are there any new skits that you came up with or who do you work with, you know, to come up with these ideas?
Right. Most of the ideas I do come up with myself, but I do have a team of people, not my own team of people, like the rest of people I work with in the office. We all kind of get together and compile ideas together. But there are also skits that that the character's been doing for years. And those are all recorded, not video recorded, but the scripts and the documentation is there. So it's easy to go back and just use those. But personally, I like to use my own things because it keeps you loose, keeps you fresh if you're writing new stuff all the time.
Yeah, definitely. So you do a few stunts. You're all over the place. I mean, I've seen you down low, I've seen you up high, and you know, in the middle. But I mean, there was a few videos where I was like, oh my gosh, like I think if he falls, like not all the cushion, like all the cushion in the world, like isn't gonna save him, right?
Right.
So I'm assuming your stunts need to be approved by management, right? Have they ever turned any of your ideas down?
No, the team I work for currently is very open to pretty much anything. And they say, the bigger the better. And if you get hurt, then it's still funny. I mean, of course, like if I say I want to skydive without a parachute and land into a bucket full of peanuts, like that might be that they probably would say no to that. But you never know. I mean, like if we can get a sponsor behind it, they might be all for it. But I have worked for a few other teams where they're very restrictive on what you do, and they want to see it. They want to pretty much undermine everything you do. But I mean, I can see both sides of why they do that. The team I work for now, they trust me and let me do basically whatever I want. So it's pretty good.
That's cool. That's great that you're coming up with your own ideas and you're adding new stuff, and they give you that leeway. So you incorporate a few different costumes. I stalked your Twitter and I was looking for pictures, and I saw a couple cool costumes that I really liked, and they looked homemade. They didn't look store bought. So do you make your own costumes?
Sometimes, yeah. I do have a little some sewing expertise. Not nowhere near expertise, but my friends call me a seamster. I don't know if that's an actual word or not. Just the male version of seamstress. But I do like to sew some of my own costumes. Generally, if they're going to look better, it's better to pay somebody. And if you want them to last several games, but for like a one-off kind of thing, you can generally throw something together. You can put something together. That's the better way to look at it. Don't devalue my my product, you know. So I do make some of this stuff. Yeah.
Do you have one that you're most proud of, or like a crowd favorite?
I don't know. I mean, pretty much if you can make like a joke costume, and they get what it is, then it can be a success. If it's Star Wars, that's really easy to get most of the time. But if it's, you know, like an MC Hammer or something, like they might not get it, but it's, they'll still laugh at it. Like the level of accuracy is off sometimes.
Yeah, no, definitely. I was referring to the Star Wars one. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and nowadays everyone has a Star Wars night. So, and I really dug yours. It was hilarious. So, so you have like a very large suit, and it's a lighter color. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Do you ever clean it yourself? I mean, I always worry about these things. Like, do you take it to a laundromat, or do you get it professionally cleaned? I've seen both videos like online.
Well, I've been washing some mascot costumes for a few years now, so I like to think that I am personally professionally cleaning it.
So you've been at this for 6 years, and did they let you clean all of the costumes? Like, because I know that's your responsibility. You got to take that thing home. My niece is a mascot for her high school. And, you know, she has to take care of it. She's never given me the details, but was that your responsibility in high school and in college as well?
Yeah, all the teams I've worked for have, pretty much, I mean, it's just a requirement. You wash your stuff. And that's good because I sweat a lot. And so, I mean, I feel bad for anyone else that would have to swim through all that mess. But my high school, the costume, like you could see your human hands and like your human neck and stuff. So it was mostly like you would put on this like pirate looking outfit, like a big puppy sleeve shirt and stuff. but like part of it was velvet. And so we did get that dry cleaned, but we had a connection with the local dry cleaner in town, and they would clean that for us for free.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but every other team I've had to wash everything. So you spend a lot of time in the laundry room, go through a lot of soap, a lot of Febreze.
Yeah. Any other tips to throw out there for mascots washing their suit?
For washing, let's see.
Or for breezing, just keeping it clean.
I made a weird mistake in college one time. It's kind of embarrassing. So I was at an appearance and I fell into a mud puddle. And I had just gotten there. And so I went back into the room I was getting ready in. And like my hands were just covered in mud. And so I washed them like in the sink. And then I realized, oh no, my hands are going to be like soaking wet. And for some reason, it made sense to me to put them in the microwave to dry them. Just like I was trying to get back out there quickly. And I'm like, oh yeah, heat. Yeah, heat will fix it. And so I put them in the microwave. And so they came out and they were just like on the verge of boiling. And
oh my gosh.
It wasn't my finest moment, but I'm here today with non-burned hands, so we're okay.
So no microwaving, yeah.
Yeah, so kids out there, don't microwave your mascot hands. It doesn't dry them.
Oh my god.
As for a tip, I mean, I like to go old school with baking soda or baking powder. What's Arm & Hammer? Is that baking soda powder?
Yeah.
The orange box.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I like that. It is an interesting, or it's a messy way to clean, but it's old school and it does the job. You just sprinkle it on, let it sit. It soaks up the odor and you vacuum it out or shake it out.
Wow. Interesting. Like this is all new stuff to me. I would have never thought of that.
Right.
No, cause I have a jersey from a mascot, and I won't say who it is, but if you know me, there's only one mascot jersey that I have. And when I first got it, like, it was his game-worn jersey. Like I was walking around and I was like, what smells, right? And then I didn't realize that it was, like, the jersey or whatever. And I was like, well, yeah, like, I mean, he's worn it, like, you know, and he sweat through it probably, which is now thinking about is, like, grossing me out. But anyways, so yeah. Well,
that's the thing. Like, the sweat is a badge of honor. I mean, it's not great for the fans. Like when the fan, you give a fan a hug and they're like, why are you wet? You can tell them from the South. That's my impression of a fan. But when they give you a hug and you're all wet and
yeah,
it's weird. I mean, I'm sorry. There's nothing you can do. It's, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there is something kind of cool when you come out and like the armpits and your chest are just like it. Like if your jersey can start one color, and then like slowly turn into a darker color. it's a badge of honor. Doesn't look the greatest. That's why that's a tip I can recommend is having multiple jerseys.
Yeah.
And swapping out for sure. Just so you don't look as gross.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Oh yeah.
So I noticed in a video you were taking some abuse from some kids, but you took it, you handled it very well. And I was talking to someone else who was in the same situation, and he basically ran away from the kids and, you know, was backed into a corner. So
right.
Do you have any advice dealing with abusive children like that?
Well, in the UCA method, we have there's three types of kids. You have your terrific kids, and those are the ones that'll love you and they're great. And they'll be around asking for autographs. You'll see them every game and they're wonderful. Then you have the terrified kids, and those are the ones that that are terrified, and they'll scream and they'll just dive into their parents' shirts and hide away. And then you have the terrifying kids,
yes.
And those are the ones that will rip parts of you off. They'll rip your tail off and run around, and their parents will cheer for them. It usually comes down to how the parents are reacting to the character as well. But yeah, so there's different ways to handle each one. So the terrific kids, those are easy. I mean, that's 90% of the kids out there. They're going to be fine. They're going to have a good time. And with the terrified kids, there's different ways to approach them and earn their trust basically.
Yeah.
And that takes time. That can take years. It's just different kids are different. But the most story worthy ones are the terrifying kids, the ones that'll beat you up and all that. So, and they'll heckle you. I don't know. I mean, you gotta roll with the punches.
Do you have a story for the worst kid that's ever come up to you?
This was actually when I was in college and I was with another guy, that was, well, actually every mascot can tell you these horrible stories of terrible children, which
that's
I hope
why I'm here. That's why I'm here.
These kids are doing fine. But okay. So my first game ever in high school, it was against our rival, team, and they're from a little hick town down the road. Shout out to all the listeners in Sparta, Tennessee. Anyway, so the I walked out for the first time, and this little tiny kid comes up to me and I was out honestly about 15 minutes or so, and he starts like saying something to me, and then he just like pulls his hand back and punches me directly in the nose. And that head was super like close to your face.
Oh,
and
my
actual nose just shattered, two black eyes. So I broke my nose first time performing at a game. So that's fun, right?
Wow.
But probably one of the funnier stories, we were at an appearance in college.
I have to go back. did you handle that
too quickly?
Well, yeah, because I mean, were you bleeding? I mean,
like, no, I didn't know until I got out, went home. My nose was, I mean, I knew my nose was hurting. I just didn't know that it was broken.
So you just kept going like nothing like happened. Like, oh, this kid hit me in the face. Yeah. And like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, the game had just started. I had to do the game.
Oh, wow. Okay. Next story. I just need a clarification.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then, so this time in college, we were at some sort of like technology, like robotics thing. I don't know. So, but there were all these kids there. And it was like a Lego thing. There were like Lego robots. Anyway, so we were there and there was this kid that kept like following us around, and he just wouldn't leave us alone. And he kept like punching the mascot. And so then eventually the mascot just picked up the kid like a football and just carried him around like sideways. And the kid just like was hanging there. I think the kid was terrified that the mascot was just like done with his crap and just picked him up and started carrying him around. And so then eventually, I don't know, something happened. And so then the mascot like just kind of like flipped the kid over a rail and just sat him down, and the kid was fine after that.
Oh man, that's like what gets it. It's like parents is like, where are you? Like,
yeah.
But I don't know. That's just the teacher in me. That's like, control your children.
Right. But, yeah. Well, I mean, we're not babysitters. We're not playgrounds. We're mascots.
Oh yeah, definitely. And those, I've seen it plenty of times where the kid just like walks up and I'm like, where is your parent at? Like,
right.
Yeah. But on the other hand, there's also, you know, the adult drunks and stuff. So have you had any encounters with those?
Well, let's see. Yeah, I mean, on like the Thirsty Thursday nights, you get the women that come up and they're desperate to know who's inside of there, and they start feeling up on you.
Wow, really?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
gosh. I've been groped a handful of times, no pun intended, but with that, you just got to be careful, especially, I mean, it's a family friendly job. So these people that take pictures with you and they're trying to like, I've pushed several legs out of pictures, and several times I've walked away from pictures just because they're not cooperating.
Yeah.
How things are supposed to work with human decency, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then careful going to your car afterwards.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. That's funny. And so how often do you, this is kind of like going back, but like how often do you break for fluids and stuff? I mean, as a teacher, like I don't get a pee break during like my shift at work or whatever. So I mean, and you're probably drinking, I'm a PE teacher, so I try and drink a lot of water out there, and I'm sure you're drinking twice as much as me, and you know, and you have your necessities. So like, how often do you break for fluids and other necessities? So
I mean, as much as necessary. I mean, there's no really clear answer for that, but just as much as possible.
So when you, where your hangout is, right, where you usually are,
right.
Is there like another door that you can go to? Cause like I saw where you hang out, but I wasn't sure if there was anything like other than that, where you can go like take a break and like grab some water or something.
Right. I mean, pretty much anywhere. I mean, I have free room with a stadium.
Oh, okay.
If the mascot walks in, you can pretty much like, they're not going to say no.
Yeah.
I mean, but I have my own room that I go to, and I have a mini fridge in there with my waters, and I have my assistant grab me one. So,
that's cool.
But I mean, I've worked in some other places where you don't have a room. And pretty much if you clear it with the team or something, you can go in their room if you don't have a room to go to. Just having a safe space to go to is that's absolutely necessary. Is going, having somewhere to go and just take a quick break. And yeah. It's needed. You gotta, as a mascot, you gotta eat a lot, you gotta drink a lot of water. You pretty much gotta cut out soda. I mean, that's not a requirement. I know a lot of mascots drink a lot of soda, but I personally am in the camp that thinks that my body runs better without it. So
yeah. I heard cutting out like salt and stuff like helps you out, but so you eat like also like during the game and stuff. You're like snacking like here and there.
I mean during the game, I have like a jar of peanuts in my room, which I've thought of recently that I probably shouldn't because of peanut allergies and everything that could be dangerous for some people. So I'm trying to find a new go to snack, but peanuts are the thing that I eat during games. But I mean, I mostly eat before and after games, and mascots usually have a very keen eye for finding free food.
Yeah.
We're very good at that. That's a skill that doesn't come in the handbook, but it's there.
Nice.
So you burn all kinds of, I don't even know numbers. You burn a lot of calories every game. I mean, especially, but it depends on the sport and the activity you're doing as well. But
yeah,
like baseball and hockey and basketball, and I mean, even the football, I mean, pretty much every sport professionally, you're going to burn a lot of calories, and you're going to need to refuel. Okay. For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Sorry, these are like odd questions, like all over them. Like, why are you eating the suit? So, yeah, you don't understand like how mesmerized I am right now.
Hey, no, it's all right. Yeah, I mean, this is another thing. I mean, it's another topic of debate between the mascot community. So some people like to wear like water bags on the inside, like the
camel pack,
camelback, platypus, whatever. I personally don't like that. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, if I'm jumping around, I got a big sloshing bag of water, I'm on my back.
Yeah.
And I just imagine being a fan and going up and giving the mascot a hug and just feeling like a jelly sack on the back of the, on the back. It just seems weird to me, but I mean, it works for some people. I mean, especially if you're just like standing around and you want to be out for a longer period of time. Yeah. I would say go for it. But if you're dancing around or doing anything like any stunts or anything, yeah, and like, what if it pops? Like, you're gonna look like you peed your back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. That's something to consider. Like, yeah, I didn't think about that. I thought that was like, I was like, oh yeah, like you just like throw in a camelback or whatever, and you're good to go. But I didn't realize all the extra weight and stuff. And if it does pop, I mean, hopefully you have a good one. But
yeah, and then people are always walking up saying, hey, you got AC in there? You got air conditioning? Oh man, it sure is hot. So, I mean, yeah, it's hot, but you get used to it. And that's part of the job. Like I said, it's a badge of honor with the sweat.
Yeah. That's what we say in PE, our crown of sweat, trophies.
Yeah.
And, so I mean, not to say that anyone can do your job, okay, but I am seriously considering changing careers. And seriously, mascotting crossed my mind just because of, you know, the working with Kids Factor. I still love working. I would still want to work with kids, and I want to be, you know, in a community setting. And I think if I worked really hard, I could train and perfect some sweet dance moves. Like, yeah. I could record myself and stuff. But would you say mascotting is a full-time job? Or, I mean, what's your recommendation? Should I keep my day job and pick up mascotting on the side for experience? Like,
well, you really get what you put into it. So, I mean, if you want the full-time jobs, those are out there. But it's extremely competitive. There's a full underground community of these mascots that are like, every time a full-time job comes open, before it even hits like the news circuits or anything, like the mascots are already digging around for the next person to fill the job. But the part-time mascot jobs, those come open a lot more, but yeah. Those, I mean, you're going to have a better experience if you work full-time, because those teams have already shown that they care enough about a mascot, and they care about the worth of a mascot program. Excuse me. But there's plenty of part-time jobs out there, and those are a great start. And I would recommend trying to do something like that first, trying out the part-time and see, because, I mean, just seeing how much time it takes, and, I mean, you got to take your lumps in a way. That's a really negative way to think about it. But working part-time as a mascot, you do learn a lot. You see how different teams work. And then, I mean, there's not always the performing aspect as well. There's a few mascot jobs across the country that are just strictly coordinating, and you're with the mascot all the time. Like, you're like the liaison. Yeah. And you schedule the appearances, and you're right there with the mascot at all times.
Yeah, definitely. Oh man. So there's a few.
If it's something that you're interested in, I would say go for it. I mean, just give it a shot.
Yeah. I gotta know. It's difficult. Yeah. Working with students with special needs is hard. So, but yeah, I know that I would need to work hard again, but I also don't want to go back to school. So it's like, I went through enough school. I don't want to go back.
Mascot school is a lot more fun than a regular school.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then, I mean, there's always clown college. I've always considered taking a clown college course. Cause they get clowning and mascotting go hand in hand. Sometimes hand and giant foam hand, you know?
Yeah. No, I, you know, I always made fun of people I have a lot of theater friends, and improv became like this huge thing, right? And
right.
So and I always made fun of my friends when they did improv and all that, and now I'm thinking, you know, I might need that, you know, socially, and like for podcasting and as well as like mascot if I decide to pursue that.
I come from an improv background, theater and improv, so I would highly recommend taking an improv class. Yeah. I don't know if there's any that are focused on like just the nonverbal side, but like pantomime, like that's a huge, huge part of mascotting, is just being able to show things without speaking, being able to pantomime, like rowing a boat and then rowing a boat while it's on fire. Like just like being able to change things up, spur of the moment, and being able to get your point across.
I'm not sure if you wanted to talk about this, but would you say that you take on a whole different personality when you're performing, or your personality matches the mascot?
It's an extension of my personality, I would say. I have noticed that the characters that I've portrayed, they do kind of have like this like underlying just like mascot sense. But definitely it is different from who I am. I think it's very important to have a separation between you and your character. Because if you're just being a mascot all the time, it doesn't work. We always talk about making a video when I was in college about what would we call it? It had a name. Acoustic mascotting. Yeah. So, so like, you know, like an acoustic set, like they unplug it like mascotting unplugged. And so like you would show a video of a mascot like walking through a place, like high-fiving everybody, like jumping up on tables and dancing around. And then you show the exact same clip, but with a human doing it. And it doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
But I mean, in reality, there is a person inside of that costume, but just because you're dressed like a whatever, you can get away with it. And that's the crazy part about mascotting.
Yeah, definitely.
What was the question? So it's kind of like Jim Carrey in the mask. Like, so you put on the mask and you become somebody else.
Yeah.
But like, if your owner runs up to you and says, "Hey, you just kicked a kid in the face," like you have to turn into the person and talk to your owner. I mean, that's never happened to me personally, but you know, there is a person inside. So there has to be a disconnect.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. You talked about people coming back up to you, but you've only been the mascot, you know, for a certain amount of time. Has anyone ever come up to you from years past and like started talking to you and you're just like, "Oh yeah." You just had to go with the flow.
Yeah. You kind of wing it, and you're like, "Oh, what's up, Jeff? How you doing, Jeff?" Like I said, all my imitations of fans, they're all southern. Hopefully that person will go and like talk to the person that they think it is. Like, "Oh, I saw you at the fair last week. That was awesome, right?" Like, "Oh, I've been out of college for 7 years now. That's not me." Yeah, so. Yeah.
So
yeah, roll the punches.
Yeah. What's the hardest thing about mascotting?
Probably the time dedication that it takes. That's something that a lot of people overlook when they get into it. I know, especially in college. I mean, college is different from professional, but a lot of people they'll get into it and they think it's going to be a lot of fun, and then I mean, you're working. I mean, at Saturdays, I didn't know what Saturdays were in college. Anytime I had like a free Saturday, I felt like I needed to be doing something. Not like out like at a 5K or anywhere, any grand opening anywhere. So
yeah.
it's strange. I mean, like a calendar is your best friend, is keeping a schedule of everything that you do, staying on track. 'Cause you can get lost instantly. If the first time you miss an event, it's killer. It makes you feel like dirt, because you get a call from somebody and you're way across town and like, "Oh, there's not a chance I can be there," or "I'm on my way." And I don't know.
I'm sorry, I forgot. Did you say that you scheduled your appearances? I mean, you're really popular. You have your own page and everything. Mascots like don't. I looked it up, and do you schedule your own events?
Yes. Yeah. So my job is full time. I do have one of the full time jobs, but that means I run everything. I'm in charge of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and then I'm in charge of all the appearances, in charge of our reading program, just keeping everything going. I mean, the mascot is what I'm in charge of. So that's what I do.
Yeah. So,
and every team is different. I've worked part-time and they still want me to do like the same amount of work that I'm doing now. I mean, not the same amount, but like a similar, run all the social media, schedule all the appearances. And it doesn't flow as well. It really just depends on the organization and how the job is set up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something that I always wonder, like the social media, because I was like, man, that's 24/7 when you're social media, whether you're the mascot like and you run your own social media, or whether it's just the team's social media person. Like that's 24/7 that you're tweeting. And I was like, man, like, that's got to suck.
Well, and it's always better if the mascot themselves run the social media, because it makes sure they have the same voice.
Yeah.
And that's important to have. I mean, mascots don't speak most of the time, so they have to have a voice that's consistent. Because most mascots can type, and some teams don't let their mascots have social media because it does give the mascot a voice, and they don't. They try to keep it strictly to nonverbal. But you know, to each their own. So
yeah.
Giving that mascot that way to do it, or you don't have to, because a lot of social media with teams, you're restricted because you have to appeal to your sponsors, and you have posts that are paid for, and
yeah,
you can't say anything dumb. But with a mascot, you can get away with a lot more. Like you can, it's kind of more of the like satire of the parody of things. So you can get away with jokes that you couldn't get away with elsewhere, you know?
Yeah. The hardest part you said was the time, just, you know, putting so much time into your job. But what's the coolest thing you've ever done in the suit?
Let's see. I mean, that's tough. I mean, you don't have a lot of bad days as a mascot. And so every little thing kind of adds up together. But the coolest thing, let's see. I mean, I've just got so many that I can't pick one, you know?
Alrighty.
Yeah.
No worries. Do you have a most rewarding part of mascotting? I mean, not so much the coolest thing you've ever done, but, you know, just rewarding.
Right. I mean, just being able to connect with people is good. I mean, I haven't always been like the most, I mean, I've always been like an eager person, like talking to people and everything, but you go up to people that you would probably wouldn't go up to if you were a person.
Yeah.
And so you can, I mean, every mascot's goal hopefully is to go out and make each person's day a little bit better, is going out there and trying to make them smile. And by whatever means that takes, and you can't win them all. You're not going to get all smiles, but hopefully you get more smiles than pushes out of the way, you know?
Yeah. Hashtag mascots make life better. That's my hashtag. Right. On like all my pictures with mascots, it's like that hashtag. No one else has it. So
yeah,
I'm like really into like cataloging with the hashtag. So they're all like very personal and like, yeah. Anyways. So which mascots inspire you the most?
I mean, my personal mascot. What's the word? Can't even think of it.
Hero.
Hero? I don't know. Yeah, heroes. I guess. Yeah. I mean, definitely the San Diego Chicken. That's the one that, like, I saw some clips of him when I was searching for mascot stuff back in high school. And outside of suit, he doesn't have the best track record. But that's okay. So just the way he performs, and the routines that he's had for years. And I feel like they're good. And I like his style. And obviously the Fanatic, I mean, I don't know if there's a mascot out there that wouldn't mention the Fanatic at some point, or Benny the Bull. I mean, and then even like on the college level, like the Abby program at Auburn University. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's phenomenal. It's incredible the amount of stuff they do. And that's a team, that's an organization there's years and years of books. That's not a phrase. There's books and books, libraries of books that could be written about what the Abby program has done. I mean, I didn't go to school there, but I've always been impressed by them.
Nice. I'm pretty sure I know the answer. Do you want to give out your Facebook or Twitter?
we're good on that. But,
all right. But any shout-outs?
Shout-outs. Let's see. Shout-out to the hick town of Sparta, Tennessee. No, I don't know. Shout-out to all the people out there, all the listeners.
Nice.
Hello, friends.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show and letting me talk with you. And I know it was rough. This is, I don't, I've been podcasting for 6 years, but I've always had a co-host, and it's always been like themed and about music, and I had the music to break. So this is me like reaching outside my bubble, you know, to talk with other people. And so thank you for putting up with me for the past 45 minutes, almost an hour.
Hey, and no worries. Yeah.
And that was it. If you made it this far, thanks for listening. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, it's Mascot Diaries. For all of my episodes, check out mascotdiaries.com. And if you'd like to suggest a question, give me feedback, or you yourself are a mascot and would like to be on the show, please email me at contact@mascotdiaries.com. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, or your podcast app of preference. Next week, I'll be chatting with Jake the Lion. Stay tuned.